Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. We had had some form of interference with our broadcast, but God is able, that is the creator of the heavens and the earth, and we are going to get started. We're not going to be deterred. We're determined. We cannot be stopped. Now, we are going to have some remarks as soon as we can get in touch with our dear brother and dear friend. We're going to have some remarks by Brother Imam Makram El-Amin from Masjid An-Nur in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And as soon as then I will give the main address. This week is business. I thank you all for your patience and for your understanding. And just always, if you have an interference, don't leave. Stay on the broadcast. We're going to get it cleared up. You don't really necessarily have to call us. We generally know what's going on. We keep in touch with these things. And as soon as we can get back in, we will be talking. I want to make some very exciting and important announcements to you. One of those announcements is on the 15th of March of this year, we are going to have Sister Halima Muhammad, the daughter of Sister Raya Muhammad, formerly known as Sister Lottie Muhammad, who is the granddaughter of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the granddaughter of Sister Clara Muhammad. She's going to be discussing Sister Clara Muhammad. To me, the first lady of this community and will always remain the first lady, the first sister, the founder, in fact, of the Clara Muhammad school system, the mother of Imam Waqi Muhammad. She's going to be on our broadcast on this Saturday, followed by the 22nd Brother Wali Muhammad, known affectionately as the Communicator. He was sent to broadcasting school by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He's going to be on the 22nd to discuss the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's tapes that was only broadcast to the Chicago audience about self-help. So he's going to bring those tapes, make those tapes available to our audience. And then we are going to follow that up with, in fact, the 29th with our dear brother and dear friend, Dr. Khalil Rivan Muhammad, the grandson of Minister Nathaniel Muhammad and the great-grandson of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and, importantly, the director of the Schoenberg Museum. So we have a lot of exciting programs for you.
A lot of exciting shows for you. While my husband is dealing with the show, first of all, we're ready. We're very excited about Halima. If you were to go back to the convention that we had last year, the convention that we had 2 years ago, I believe, in the Meadowlands, Halima is on there where, you know, she talks about her family and the community. And you can go on the blog talk and get that recording that Sister Halima, the granddaughter of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, you can get her that broadcast as well. So we have been working diligently to support our leader, Wallace II, and support the community with all these different presentations. We're very excited about Khalil, Brother Khalil Muhammad, the great, I think he's the great grandchild of Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and he is also the Schomburg director, which is a great institution in New York, and he's going to be on our program. So these programs will be, the dates will be on Facebook, and we're very excited to have, you know, our brothers and sisters supporting our radio show and you supporting the radio show. We're very excited to have you and the brother Khalil and the sister Halima, and we have another grandchild of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I believe his name is Wali. I'm not sure. The brother, we have another grandchild, a brother Wali.
Wali
Muhammad. He's going to be on the 22nd. He's coming in to support our radio show, and to talk about, you know, to talk about various issues. And so I think they called him the communicator. But we're very, very happy to have all these people supporting the family that we love, supporting this radio show. And we look forward to seeing you on the show. And I'm going to get right back to Imam Alfred Muhammad. Hold on.
Thank you, Sister Fatima Muhammad, for your wonderful comments. I'm awaiting our dear brother and dear friend, the Imam of the Masjid and Nur and Minneapolis, Minnesota, one of my favorite cities. He's going to address our audience prior to my address that I will be giving. You know, I really thank you all for your patience, for your consideration, and for your understanding. It is not expected that we will engage and work for the cause of God and for the cause of our people without being tried. That's to be expected. So we should not panic. I'm going to now bring to us a great young man that I remember as a young baby. Now, he's a second-generation member and leader of our community. He's the son of the great Imam, Brother Charles El-Amin, the nephew of Brother Miles El-Amin, Brother Imam, I believe he was, and his mother was, in fact, the secretary to our great National Secretary, John Ali. So there's a lot of rich history. He's also a businessman. And he's Imam of one of our most important masjids, and one of the members of his masjid, of his community, his jamaat, is the Congressman Keith Ellison. So we are here in high cotton and high bean pot, and a great student of al-Islam, follower of Imam Waruthuddin Muhammad, Quranic-based, a thinker, a leader. I'm happy to say he's my friend. I love him just like I love my son. So without a further ado, I'm building him up, and he's going to take you further and further. But he's just returned from Africa, and he's a businessman. And this is the business week. And I can think of none other than a great man like him. We're going to follow it up with some comments by Ismail Kadar, the featured speaker for the Savior's Day 2014. We have big plans for this community. Without further ado, I introduce you to the Psalm and present to others Imam Makram Al-Amin of Neston and Nura in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Brother Imam.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Imam. How are you?
Thank you.
Alhamdulillah. It's a pleasure to be with you again, actually, on your program. And we spoke a few weeks ago. Maybe a month or so ago, before I left to Africa, and I was just excited and elated to be a part of your program, your very important program that really keeps the interest, our main interest, in front of us all the time. So I want to really thank you and let you know how much you are appreciated for helping keep the focus, and as they say, keep the main thing the main thing. So we're happy to be with you here today, inshallah. And I just wanted to, share, a few comments on, I know the theme is this business this week, and, how our religion, Islam, and a universal religion really calls our attention to all important matters in the life of the human being. And in many passages of the Quran, as I know you're aware, it really speaks to the language of those who have interest in the a spiritual growth and development and being pleasing to God, etc., but also an interest in the world, this objective world, and more so even developing business and commerce and trade and other interests that's going to further advance human life. And we are heavily engaged in all of this. Our prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, was many things. He was many things, the messenger of God most importantly. However, he was also a businessman as well as a dignitary and a leader, one who they went to for advice and judgment, and one to provide vision for the community, among other things, among many other things, But his interest as a businessman, I think, is something that is not talked about, I believe, enough. And we know the early days of Islam were all about, moving about that area they call the Peninsula of Arabia, then the Hijaz, as it's called, a reference. But it was in trade and commerce is how they interacted with the people of that area. And it was that's how they were introduced. And they were people who were fair in their dealing. They were people who had, they weren't trying to beat or cheat the people from their hard-earned money, giving them something that was worthless and charging them a lot and et cetera, which was the rule of the day at that time. That was the rule of the day. So they represented something, a change, a real paradigm shift, a new way of thinking and doing business that area had not seen. And they were honest people. They were honest people, and it was fueled by their faith. And I'm encouraged by this historical truth of our religion, and as a means for us to capitalize on it, as well as to build bridges upon that premise. I have interest in many things, and business is one of them. And but not just for business sake. I'm really interested in people, and more and furthermore interested in people living a higher quality of life. And so we have been a part of several interests in business, whether it's real estate or even a retail business or restaurants and things of that nature. And now we're venturing into some international trade of commodities, everything from, medical supplies to scrap metal and different parts of the world where there's, heavy need. But it's all with an interest of building up the community here locally. It's all in the interest of perhaps providing jobs, much-needed jobs and work for many people in our own backyard who are still suffering, from lack of resources and opportunity. So we have really a big picture here in mind when we are going about this work, but it's all fueled. It's all fueled by our interest in people, which is driven by our religion and our commitment and faith in God. So I could talk much more about that, but the major point that I wanted to share is that, even though we are involved with business, or involved with an education, or involved in some cultural or performing arts, or some form of government, et cetera. Even though we're involved in all of these interests, our interest above all interests should be to serve God through those interests. So as a person who is has faith in God and tries to live a life that's reflective of that, I try to exemplify that in my interaction with others. And I'm encouraged, again, not that this is only unique to me. There are many, many of us, brothers and sisters around this country who are trying to make strong contributions, I would say, to the American landscape, no matter where they live. But also our interest in that is global. Our interest is global. We travel around the world and looking to make connections with people in human life. So I'm very, very interested in the quality of life of people. And one of the things that I saw in Africa, I was in Ethiopia and some surrounding cities there, and as you know, it's Muslim, it's Christian, primarily there. There are other religious groups, but Muslim and Christian are the largest there. But one of the things that was brought to my attention in real time, and though we've read this in history books and programs and things of that nature, but that is just so rich in natural resources, extremely rich in those natural resources, and it puzzles the mind, boggles the mind of how the level of poverty that we see among the common people there. You know, we see a lot of poverty, and it's tremendous. But again, we see poverty in these urban cities that we live in as well. You know, and really, if we really and truly, you know, study our religion, you know, the institution of zakat, the charity, as it's translated, but it means much more than that. Purity means growth, et cetera. But this institution within our religion really is the means of uplifting those who are poor and destitute and in bad circumstances, and elevating them to a dignified life, a dignified life. And we know that if we were able to capture, you know, more of our share, in these various markets, and doing so as people who believe in God, and Muslims in particular, in the Quran and the tradition of Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon him, then our neighborhoods, our areas that we live in should be a recipient of zakat and charity and other opportunities to foster better life and quality of life for the many. This is what our interest is. This is where we're going in terms of trying to establish good business ties. And as I grew up in this community, as you know, and I can always remember growing up and seeing our newspaper, it was the Muhammad Speaks and transformed even today to the Muslim Journal and the Bilalian News in between. And I remember at certain times when we would have the hands of African Americans from the United States interlocked with the hands of Native Africans from Africa. I can remember that on our masthead, on our paper. And as a young child, as a young boy, you know, growing up being very curious and whatnot, and trying to couldn't quite understand or fathom what exactly that meant, what exactly Imam Muhammad and Elijah Muhammad before his father, may Allah forgive them their sins and grant them the paradise, what they were trying to instill in us and plant in us as seed. And as I have come into my own manhood and adulthood and understanding, they were really forecasting almost prophecies of sorts. Prophecy, where we should be going and what we would be doing, and the connections that we would have in time, and where this religion would take us. And I felt that way when I was in Africa. I felt that way of connecting dots, of interlocking my hands with my brothers and sisters that were there, and making strong connections in that way. So I felt this as really a manifestation
of seeds that had been planted in me from many years ago, many, many years ago. And I was had the blessing of being with my father this last evening, and we were talking about this history and him feeding me as he always does and always has and always will. I pray for Allah, always will. He feeds me with his knowledge and his wisdom and his unique perspective, and always still shaping, you know, my thoughts and helping to put my experiences in perspective, and him sharing with me very generously, very, very generously. He's very generous when it comes to him sharing and giving of himself and his knowledge and perspective, and I'm just so grateful to Allah for that interaction. But we were talking about this idea that we have come to know as our life, and how we're seeing the fulfillment of prophecy in many days, in these days, from many years ago, I should say, from a time from before. Now we're seeing these things coming to fruition, and again, I am just grateful to God and grateful to Allah, God that is, and the tradition that established by Muhammad the Prophet, the Quran, and then all of those good leaders and people and pioneers like yourselves and others who have really kept the faith and provided a means by which we, another generation, can stand up in our own souls and make contributions regardless of discipline, regardless of area, regardless of whatever sphere we are drawn to in our own natural inclinations, but we are equipped and prepared to step into a new realm, a new reality, and make our contribution. So I pray Allah that he gives us the stamina and the will, the expertise, and educate us and keep us right in our spirit and our intellectual and our moral life, and keep us guided upon a way that is straight, and so that we can only do more and, again, set the table, set the stage for our children and their children to come behind us and take us to heights that we have never even seen before. So I wanted to just thank you, Rebbe Imam, again for allowing me to share some comments on your program, and we thank Allah, again, God that is, for your presence and the work that you do tirelessly, for on behalf of not only Muslims, but for humanity. So I'm grateful, and I thank you.
I thank you, Brother Imam, and I thank you, and thank your noble family that came up from Mississippi through Waukegan right on into the Muhammad's Temple of Islam number 2. This is generation. I thank you. A solid young man. We're going to hear more and more of him on Religion Means Alive. We're going to hear more and more of him on the circuit. He's a wonderful, outstanding man. I looking on Facebook and saw a picture of him with the Attorney General Eric Holder. You know,
yes.
They don't allow you to get near government officials unless you've been cleared. So this is a good, fine young man that's keeping our tradition. I want to turn our mic to Brother Ismail Qadar, featured speaker, and he's going to make some comments. And then I'm going to come back, and we're going to address business, getting our share of the business life. Remember, first Sunday is Educational Week. Second Sunday is business. So without further ado, I'm going to turn you on to the president of LDS, Muslim Man, Young Man of the Year, and featured keynote speaker at the Savior's Day 2014, that is just a down payment on a bigger and bigger Savior's Day. God Almighty himself has saved us by giving us the Quran and giving us great saviors as long as they stay with this message. Thank you, Brother Imam, and I now turn the mic over to the hands of our dear brother and dear friend, Imam Ismail Qadar. He doesn't want to be called Imam, but he's a businessman, the social businessman, Brother Ismail Qadar.
Thank you, beloved. Thank you. Peace be unto you. Thank you, brother. The introduction was a very good introduction, the whole show. And I first want to send an honorable love and shout out. We all good things to our audience and our noble audience members. Religion Means Alive. You're watching a very, very productive program. And Eman Alfred, always being on time, I'm thanking you for even having the opportunity to be on the broadcast once again. Thank Allah, thank God, Creator, for that opportunity. And so on this beautiful Sunday, I think we're right on topic with what this broadcast, I would love to see us being a part of. And I was blessed with on Savior's Day. I say blessed because I stand on the great shoulders. I'm just a humble servant of God. For me, it's not just partaking in something. I'm actually enjoying what I'm looking at. So the community was such a beautiful presence with the pioneers and the sisters and the brothers. So I just say that, you know, I'm being blessed. I mean, I'm just having joy as well as delivering and having an opportunity to make a contribution. So, I mean, just, you know, like I said, that's why right now this is a great time for us as men, for us as a community, for us as sisters also out there, for us to take part in the first word of social responsibility. Imam Muhammad Ali gave us many great things, and one of the things that happened coming back from Savior's Day is I announced the difference between potential energy and kinetic energy, and it was so well received from the community because they understood exactly what I was trying to say and make clear with us as looking at the religion or any religious community to have a book or scripture, have words. I was saying how that all is the potential that they can reach. All of that is the great potential they can reach it, but they will have to obey it. So to put it in movement, you have to make kinetic. To be an example, you have to make kinetic. And we as Muslims say Muhammad the Prophet was a good example, peace be upon him, as a walking Quran, not a talking Quran. Not just a talking Quran. He said about his behavior, his methods, like the brother said introducing the beginning of the show, his business strategy. And I have been putting pressure on the Muslim world recently and more. I will continue to put more pressure on them that they do know that Muhammad had a business strategy. So it's not coincidence that you don't have many of his business stories of how he had a business as much as you have stories that may hadiths that talk about more circulated of his morale. Well, he has morale and rational light, which Imam gave us in the way we even do in the big prayers. We do our two salats, our moral nature and our rational nature. So one of the things that you see in business that's happening and is continuing to happen in Wall Street is the country is facing the burden of big business leaders still having to deal with ethics, still having to deal with ethical reform. And I wanted to was called Moral versus Ethics, Morality versus Ethics. And many times we think this is the same thing, but I want to make note that like a mother who gives one of her children maybe a bigger piece of chicken, or, you know, she's not a bad person at all. You know, she's a moral person. She's dignified, but she may even say one of her daughters she may like leave her even more, give her a little extra rice. That would be no problem. But we know that it doesn't come a lot of time from just having a moral nature. Now, the rational nature, as that woman is, say she's over tax records, or she's over the city, or she's over a big corporate, a big business, she will maybe, if she uses that same method or that same strategy, she'll be called up on her ethics. So as we get to the meat of the broadcast, I just want to, and that's how many of us, even the ones who sometimes we condemn a person that goes into business, we fail to realize that has not really been circulated and taught. There's a reason why the more impoverished neighborhoods, they always would teach us to stay away from the business environment, even to the preachers, to Adam Clayton Powell in Harlem, where they told him, stay away from the politics. They do like the other reverends. And get away from, just speak religion. And I think that to this day, the Abyssinia has made a deal. I don't think anyone from Abyssinian Church could hold a political seat based on how odd and absurd That was back then. That cry was back then, and Adam Crane Powell did something about it. I think that's a note also during the Leaving Black History Month. But what I'm saying today and what I was speaking about was energy needed to build. Energy needed. No one could build a bridge by themselves. We don't have no real Hercules out here. No. And as a definition of strength, if the biggest thing of strength on this planet was muscular strength or physical strength, the apes and the lions, we know, will be ruling the planet or will get most of our men in the corner. Now, but the measure on this strength that I'm talking about now is your rational strength. I'm sorry, brothers and sisters. Having a brief problem, but on the measure on this strength is we're responding to the ability to get group life, be together, make plans, develop plans, blueprints, architecture, a design, men coming together in unity under a common cause. Even to the point where in the economic system we deal with today, we have the United States of America, that we have the unions who make sure the economic pay for the people and are being upheld. So we have these keys of energy and insight, and even in economics. And what has the Muslim been given that is even greater than all these schools, yet has not been so much circulated to the African-American neighborhood and to you and to others? Well, this goes back to what I think you should pick up a book that's out where my father also noted that he's explaining how Imam Muhammad and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, one of the greatest pills that they had to African-Americans was also to reintroduce them back properly in their group. And he explained of one who does that, bringing back the tribal unity. And he was explaining tribal unity, not that there's many you say, oh, tribal, this is how. No, he was explaining how even Muhammad and our prophet, was able to do that through time, unite the people, really, to unify the people under the most common, their most basic and most common essence. But still, he was able to solve the many wars they were having with gods and tribal unity. He was able to see and make them grow, and that grew our government. So the energy that I wanted to cover before Imam Alfred comes is first identifying what we in as Muslims. Like the brother just said on the show, the Kat Imam had pointed out how it's not the same as Sadaqa. The Zakat is a very motivational piece. And I think you will find to our Christian friends and brothers and sisters that the way you have this country in the sense of taxes and in the sense of social responsibility, donations, or things like that, you'll find being liberated through Islam, the Islamic role of society, and even what the West has, I've said, used to enhance their society, have borrowed. And I'm not saying that in a bad way because I'm blessed to be in this new way with that. I'm glad they have borrowed that. But we must acknowledge, just like the Constitution, we know it's borrowed, but we want you to understand so we can show you there's more in common than what they say different. So we know the Constitution comes from the Quran and the principles. So we're here to be as more unified, more public body. So the first energy we'll be talking about, that would be the Ibrahim Company. And that company is what the brother, Imam Alfred, has continued to do. The Imam explained that this will be a role in education, educating our public, those who are even in music, those who have talents in business. You know, in our book, it talks a lot about us giving halal food, feeding the people with the food you eat. Not trying to give them more dirtier food or food you don't eat yourself, but you feed the people with that kind of food. So we know that this deals with not just the food, this can deal with the culture. I mean, it's reported that Eminem said he doesn't even let his daughters and sons listen to his music. So we understand that we as Muslims, this is another different higher strategy we have in this course of economics. I'm giving a brief concept before we get into the UNR conference and Imam Alfred's address. The social responsibility, that's the Abraham covenant, and we should be seeking for truth. And motivation, truth and motivation. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Imam W.D. Muhammad, giving us the New Africa model, was also with the likes of CPC, what we had in the NOI, like our brother said, with the great picture from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, across showing this in our newspaper. These things were supposed to reach our mind even back then as a global community, as one who has arrived. And in his book, this Western Mind, I'm not saying, you know, tribe for his understanding, but I understand what he's saying. And that said, hey, these people have arrived. These are new people. Because you're not really a people if the world can't hear you. You're not really a people if you can't go to the United Nations and you can't have your own seat. You say, I want to sit on your lap. So we as a Muslim community, that's really one of our biggest things we have been given. And through, like, even Bilal cried that call out, that I am a man. Our people in the civil rights movement marched for that right. I am a man. But now we have to establish this wall, have to do some work, have to do some digging, have to show some muscles. So I was talking about energy, and I'm still talking about energy. All praise due to God, the Creator. And He creates even energy, all the energy. Things that we want to label as oil and water and sugar and the hydroelectric power. These are all things I would like to see us get into, and I'm blessed with a few opportunities. But our first thing we should, and on my Sunday address, address the concept of energy of economics. And these are the examples. I'm just giving some of the examples of why when you're liberated with money and wealth, and like such as charity zakat, you really have more of a social responsibility. So our president is even calling for Congress to act in a social responsible manner. He's calling for Congress to end them citizens who make over a million, to put more back into society so we can get these jobs going, so we can hire more people, so we can have actually bullet trains, not just regular trains. And you don't have to have the train, that system that you can have something looking better than Dubai tomorrow if it was for the social responsibility. So these two concepts, ethics and social responsibility, are what are missing, what is actually being taken out of some of the courses of Harvard, some of the courses and stock investment till we get to the placement, till we get to making a stock public. So these are courses been missing. So what we have to see first is not just from the Islamic perspective of how we change America and what Islam did to the world, but like my brother said in the first broadcast, we have to deliver home the business message. The business message, what is physically done, what was the energy, what was the result of us owning our neighborhood, us owning our restaurant, us standing up for ourselves, us having our own paper? What was the result? And Muhammad the Prophet has even a place to this day of Medina, constitutional model of something physically we can see. So that, for me, is what I wanted to finish, just introduce to the show. Got about 5 or 10 minutes that I would like to point this UNR conference out. And with the gracious people of our community and in Chicago especially, gave me the privilege to deliver. The privilege. And I say I was honored because I felt like an honored guest treasuring that the relationship of my community, the relationship of the pioneers. And I always look, I tell you this all the time, I love the fact that I see a lot of brothers who are motivated and they'll always be by my side, good brothers. And I pray the fact seeing my sisters and my parents and all the sisters who come out and always show support and are really reflections. But to see the pioneers is just, to me, the big, when I, you know, always know if you're speaking truth. And they can see sincerity. And they gave me such a beautiful, warm reception. And I must talk about that even in the middle of a great economic speech. Because this information today has enough in it for you really to build a new civilization. And I took this from what my imam gave us. So I'm just telling you that this is connected to what we had. What did the pioneers even have? In the way they look like 20 years old, still 75. Energy, 81 mil a day. The love for each other, love for your brother. The prophet talked about that. Jesus talked about that. So I know you as all communities listening could share that value of love, but let's not love in the way that we've been seeing in a destructive way. The love that we see children and mothers having a daughter that loves a man that might be a pimp. Or love a drug that might be destroying their body. Or love a dirty neighborhood that has garbage and trash and needs to be cleaned. And let us see that the social responsibility is in us. So with President Obama's mentoring program, I would like to see all people of faith, especially us as a leadership social community, with a leadership role, social value, excuse me. The imam talked about shared freedom space. I would like for us to see this opportunity to, like the brothers has in the mentoring program, to not just look at this as a wasteful time or just another mentoring program. This is a time to really renew the energy of your workforce, your children, and this is the workforce. And I know for having, God bless me, deployed 50 workers over the last 2 years of African-American, people in my neighborhood, giving them prevailing wage rates. Allah has blessed me. God has blessed me to see that what is really needed in them are training. And like Obama saying, something to exceed the walls of the White House, to not exist just as another campaign slogan. For someone to really say, I care about this child, I know this child's missing his father. So training is key, and that's what I meant about education. We know as the Nation of Islam, we had training. We know to get on TV and media, it requires training. We know even in school, you go to 4 years, pay somebody $50,000 to go to class and then get trained. So we know training is key. We know Islam doesn't leave you without training. We always talk about books and kit, and you have the best, the highest. We say just the books and their corrective forms. And that's even supposed to be training. So that's what I want to state today. Is that there's a real energy in economics. It's something to motivate you, do now, to start to, everything happens. Even these books are talking about smiles and energy and law of attraction. So I want us to understand there was a lot of meat. There's a lot of meat, and I wrote this down because I wanted to share this all week, and I'm blessed that Imam Alfred gave me the opportunity on this Sunday to cover this. And I hope that leads you to the third principle of truth and then the fourth of motivation. And if we could get to those major, correct the myth. And if they're throwing myth out. The myth is also in these movies. We had Craig removing the racial images, portraying the blind, the divine. And we see my generation, now all of a sudden off the radar, we see a few movies detailing Christ, Jesus, detailing the prophet, and not even just putting another word, you know, a biblical language, to claim the God, son of, that's what the movies label. So we've been seeing even movies that have been talking about, you know, they've been labeled just a movie. The crucifix or the crown of, you know, this movie, all this is, this language is to now just reclaim Son of God. And without going too much into that movie and film, because I'm not here for promotion, I'm just explaining how this is still in the myth of the world. It's dead, but it's our job to show the world that it's dead. It's dead. It's dead. Don't believe in what we know what's going on with the social responsibility and what the Tea Party and other members are saying, but there's still a people here to prove that it's not. So we have a job to be in the public with our business, our charity. Our business community must become a charitable force. And I've been saying this, and I'll continue to say this, and humbly love for me to even be, I have more to contribute. But we all, that's what Juma is to do, and to take it beyond the walls of just the masjid, as our name and mosque cares is so beautifully language. I love the language the man chose. But now, let's motivate. This is what about the energy of that model is for us to understand that we must, everything we do, we have to teach this. So if you got a shoe business, you have a duty to teach ethics. You should want for your brother what you want for yourself means also that you should want, you should, like Obama, he's not making $8 an hour, but he's caring for the people not to be making the minimum wage when he knows they can't afford cities in Chicago and New York, and inflation has increased beyond their heads. So we have to reinterpret. We have to have a financial reinterpretation. We see, and this is what made these other communities see, even our budget is being controlled by other dissents, and they have the knowledge within 7 or 9 that sit behind that wall of Bernanke. They have the knowledge in that when they go to the G20, global 20 nations, have a interpretation of the myth and some things that are true, and they're able to give us the cause and give you inflation, give you the certain way. But Islam teaches you that you have a social responsibility to not, especially as men, use your unity just in a divided way. What I mean divided way? Meaning the average one of us will go to some Barnes & Noble and pay $20 or $30 for a movie ticket and $50 for this and that and some, you know, a month for groceries. But we'll just go to the masjid, maybe put $10, and we won't have any organization that uses our unity in a productive, asset charitable way. I say that again. We will have, and what does it get into? That also goes into the trust, the Al-Amin principle. The brother said of the prophet before he was the messenger, had it in his character before. But we still, to be a wolf, are going to, we changing that, and I see the light that, oh, and goodness is on the rise. Can't say that enough. But I just want us to keep that in our mind as we go into this next phase, this new journey of building New Africa, that this, we will be successful, we will be the best examples, and we will also bring back the dignity and courage, I believe, to Wall Street to say, oh, look at those brothers and sisters in a New Africa. Look how they are bringing back ethics with big money. Look how they big act. We just came back from the city, University of Cincinnati. Great land. My brother's thinking going to the school. One of the top architectural designs in the world, the country, too. And I was privileged to see what they're doing in that small community. So I'm just saying that we should be, we can do that. You want to call it Prior Muhammad University, I'm with you. You want to call it Imam Warithi Muhammad University, I'm with you. If you want to call it the University of Islam, I'm with you, and it's a true university. That's what I mean about Brennan University. And when we went to the university, we saw physics. We saw these great scholars. One was Pythagoras' theorem on the wall. One was another Isaac Newton. And I explained to my mother, this is a big world-class physics building. I said, look at those teachers. All of those teachers reflect a principle of bringing energy or physics out the world. And some are Jewish. Yes, Isaac Newton is hot. Beautiful sign. And I said, oh, some are going back into Greek, Pythagorean theorem. But I said, really, if you break down the knowledge that we've gotten, that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad helped return, and the Imam Sib Dil took us to the new land, you recognize that these were interpretation of new schools, interpretation of new thinkers, of physical laws, the physical laws that really been here before those thinkers were born. So one of the, on the end of the building had a key figure named Fardi, and I asked you to look him up. Maybe too much information. But this, my mother and me had a discussion on just how that was up there on its great academic building. But I'm explaining to you that the civilized minds know you have you exist, and they know that you are a community. But Imam Muhammad said our burden was that we were like donkeys that saw the voice of a flaming angel. Now, donkeys is to say that you're not really enlightened to even your potential. Some of us even are enlightened, but we weighed down by our big head. We don't need the big head. I'm, as a matter of fact, I'm never ever calling for all of you brothers and sisters to even join me. That'd be arrogant to say you have to know what Allah has blessed me to know, or Imam Alfred to know, and a brother to know, or my father to know. But if you come in your unity with the trustworthiness that we've been blessed to see, I'm guaranteeing that by next year, next 3 years, this is going to be the most solid economic plan that the country has to offer. And the ghetto, we will rebuild because we are going to be real estate investing in the ghetto. See, when you change the ghetto, look, what I want you to do is to go home. No, this ain't just for who, why, Ooh, that brother gave a good speech. I'm talking about get a pen and pad later, write down social responsibility, define what was it that the Nation of Islam did to America's ghetto. Define it. Write it down. Give some examples. Then I want you to associate what was it the great prophets, from Jesus to Muhammad, also were seen incredible to do to society. And then next week when I come back to the broadcast, I'll take some calls, I'll take some questions, but I just wanted to be in your awareness that we are very hands-on, action-oriented, not in the sky, not mythological dreaming, not in love with a dream that we can't wake up, not in love with a myth so vivid in our mind that we still drunk. So we want to see these real estate, what I mean about trust in cities like Chicago. We want to see a plan put together. I'm a security leader, but I like to be with security leaders. I like to be with real estate leaders, like to be with common brothers that just got some money, economics. I know a few brothers that got a little COVID line. They're making some good money. I said, brother, y'all welcome to come. Good natured. Good natured. African-American people. And you know what? They listen more and more to the religion. So look at what the brother is saying in the beginning of what prophet, the prophet example, and I'm encouraging us to be liberated when we look at it. Don't just look at it and say, okay, I'm looking at a business example, you know, but I want to get back to the religion. No. Imam Muhammad talked about not making a separation. Not even you're supposed to be so clear. That's what the beauty of Islam did in the deen, the complete way. That you have a look at the science of the prophet putting the solving treaties and wars. We have enough knowledge, information here to heal the world. To heal the world. Remember that again. Heal the world. If you clean the ghettos up, if you clean Detroit, Chicago up, and we put training programs like security programs, facilities, nursing aid. We should want our homes, if we're going to do nursing aid and this new health care law, we should even want to see our own economic companies sending our sisters to their own grandmother's house or their own aunt's house to have nurse training. So, but we have to keep continuing support. I love to see this unity. I love to see that you can recognize out there a unified voice. You can recognize. So that's the first thing that give you. I would just clap my hands right now and congratulate. I would just congratulate us as a group of thinkers, a group of leaders, a group of followers, supporters. I like the language, supporters. A group of young and old to keep continuing to channeling the energy, exchange, network with each other, exchange each other's emails. If a brother does something or trade, try to exchange each other's websites. Try to more and more invite. Everything ain't gonna be successful. Go with each other to different events, and if you could collect more information for the community, but always report it back to the community. Always try to report information, upgrade the community. I would also lastly try to tell you that our information technology is big on the rise, and if some of our young men can get an exam that I'm trying to help one brother already get, that you just simply take the book, pass the exam, and you can make really good money. In 3-4 years, you can make $100,000 a year. And I'm going to give you some information on that, but when that's what I mean about training. We can do this. I'm serious. We can do this. I'm coming. I used to live in the ghetto. I'm not coming from Harvard and Yale. Allah blessed me to be raised up because I follow the guidance and teachings that He blessed. And I'm a humble servant. I still have, made mistakes. But you, as a community, you are the most richest group in putting your money in other places. So we should not feel, don't remember that Jesus Christ syndrome, what they did to us is, if we talk about putting our dollars together or doing something with our dollars, many of us feel like we have to apologize. So we have to apologize to even dream of wanting a supermarket. We have to apologize to dream of wanting to come and have our own theater and miscorrect that because we think about the Lowe's and the Merrimack. So that's what I'm saying. Don't just think that crave thing was big, because in the psychology of our people, we're here to help LeBron even understand that we could have our own NBA. This is big business. But first, you have to do these things, these exercises mentioned. We shouldn't want to think that the Jews are the, and I love my brother and my fellow Jews, but we should not believe that they're the only ones with the ability to become managers and management of money. And we have to respect what they have, what God has blessed them with. See, this is balanced language, balanced perception. But don't ever think that you can, God told you in your Quran that you're an inheritor. You are a khalifa. He didn't say He went and let you inherit the knowledge. He wouldn't let you inherit the way to make a factory, how to manufacture, like when you go on planes. He wouldn't let you understand how to make ship vessels, how to do, like the brother said, about commodities. Commodity deals, like we're doing right now, liquid natural gas and facilities. God didn't say He was going to cut you out of that. This is man's decision. God gave you the complete. He completed your life. And so every leader that's in that mode, that's trying to get you to see your human excellence, that's not trying to keep you keep you as a dog or dogmatic and trying to cheat you out of something, that is to be treasured. And now I'm speaking from my heart, and I know I've went in a little, and I apologize, Imam Alfred, if I went in a little past. But that is really what I'm happy to see. And also, we want to start delegations of trade. We've announced that Imam Alfred would announce it. Where after we do our tour, we're definitely trying to sponsor a few journey, and I want a few ventures I'm doing in South Asia. And I want to start seeing our young men. See, we take these young men that would have been in the projects, that would have went the wrong way. Now he's learning about security training. Now he's learning about maybe get a certificate, not just get a job with $8. We put him on a prevailing wage job. That's what we're looking to get. So he can get $17 an hour. Then we take, well, I said it has to be a full 360 Muslim and community mentoring, because that, you know where that brother's going to go back. He's going to go right next to your shopping plaza. So we have to, I say, like, take the power of a community with offices and real estate investment, of investing in our own five-block radius. We can all, each one, like the, like I said at convention, that would make it where it's abnormal for his behavior. So that would take the community. But if you put him in an environment where at the same time you train him, show him how to make money, this is what we, oh, God bless, I've done it. Alhamdulillah. I know it can be successful. You take that kid's mind and intention and say, hey, man, he cares about me. And that's what we have to do. That's what we have to do. We must do. Imam Alfred has been talking about this sales force. It's key. I have a little small sales force. And we get, like, electronics. We put them in, wow, they're doing such a successful job. They're doing a good, great job. But like I said, that is what we are focusing on, and we arrived to the new Africa model. We want shared freedom space, but we want to work. We want to work, and we don't always have to work in a sense where we compete against each other. That's why I told unity is key. We want to see ourselves as a rich nation. We used to have them saying nation. I know we're not a nation in a sense now. But when you even said nation, it was for a unified force. Because when you look at a nation, even an American nation, you see many different things in America. You see different streets. You don't want to see one China restaurant. You don't want to see that if you go to a Chinese village. You see many different type of restaurants or places where you could get gas, though I'm Indian. So that, but that doesn't come from a divisible scheme. That doesn't come with support. And those places are all supported. But the leaders, what I meant about donkey leadership, is instead of having so many leaders who divide the people, there's more of the people supporting good leadership. So the people support leaders who are supporting unity. And I remember the Imam said, what is more united than connecting the people to God? That's what the Muhammad, the prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, did. When the people knew he was united by ideas such as that. So we, as a new group, we have the same burden and the problem. Mr. Farah called it a problem. But remember, that problem gave you, if you learned it, you had so much good in return. And this problem today of hailing Wall Street ethics is a great problem. This hot problem today of transforming your ghettos of Detroit, Chicago, and buying up these properties, because I'm telling you, regentrification is happening. It happened to my place in Harlem. Look at the Bronx. Don't be fooled. Dictate the market. Don't let the market dictate you. In Queens, New York, about a few years ago, they were paying $400,000, $500,000 for properties, a lot of my Indian brothers. And all the African-Americans over in Hillside said, oh, well, you know, this house is only $200,000, and laughed at them. And didn't really get what they were doing. They knew the principle of real estate. Of comps and comparables, so they overpaid for a house, and put in and be doctors over there and create a society. Next thing you know, they had $400,000, $500,000, $500,000 houses and sold up the whole neighborhood. And the person with the property was forced to move when he was financed and he wanted to compete. So what I'm saying is, don't let the inflation rates dictate you as an even united community of this government, this ghetto situation in Detroit, Chicago, New Jersey. You have all the power. We just want to look at you yourself in the mirror again as a renewed person. Please do these exercises. Inshallah, God willing, and we will meet again on Religion Means Alive. That is what I have to say to you this evening in a nutshell, that we cannot be stopped now, but it's not just the same. It has to be bigger than Facebook. It has to be bigger than the other social sites. We want the knowledge to create our own Facebook. But when I say training, I don't just say that knowledge and just be a joke. I mean, you will have to learn what Facebook is. What does it do? What kind of technology is used? What kind of seed? So we want to be, as Muslims, we want to be healthy, and as religious people, those who are Muslim, African and our people, we all want to have a healthy, rational state of mind. And that's why you go to college, that's why you go to school, to learn. So we don't want an ego trip. We want to continue that excellence, and we want to continue to uphold this information. Renewed eyes. We will be doing this soon. And like I'll tell you, just contact. You could contact me. I'm your brother. Contact with me. Any question? I love it. I embrace it. I mean, and that's what I have to say today. Is Imam Alfred back?
Yes, sir. I'm ready. Thank you, Brother Ismael Kadal, Muslim Young Man of the Year, and also keynote speaker for Savior's Day. These are very what we call benchmark events in the community's history. You know, people thought that after the passing of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that the Nation of Islam would just collapse. People even thought after the passing of Imam Waruthuddin Muhammad, his community would just collapse. People thought that after they had put us in slavery, we would just collapse. But what they failed to understand, that from the interior of West Africa, through our creek to the door of no return, on Gory Island, to the slave ship, through the plantation, through the breaking grounds in the West Indies, God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, was with us. And is with us. His hand is on the Nation of Islam. That is the Nation of Islam that was founded by Mr. Farah. God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, ordained that to happen, to create a womb. What womb? It was a womb to grow an independent mind that was not connected to biblical society, that was not even connected to Quranic society. Wasn't educated as Dr. Akbar Muhammad was at Al-Azhar. Wasn't educated at Harvard University. Wasn't educated at Oxford University. But educated by his very nature. And then from his nature, taken to the Quran, and God himself educated him. And after God himself had educated him, he then took him to the Prophet Muhammad to show him a model human being. Imam Muhammad said if he had gone straight to the Prophet Muhammad, he would have still been a subhuman. This is what we have to understand. Do you think God is going to allow this movement to fall apart? This is not a movement of Imam Jabuddin Muhammad. This is not the movement of Imam Elijah Muhammad. This is the movement of God and God's plan for the human being and God's plan for us. So don't make any mistakes when you see them jamming our radio broadcast. Don't make no mistake about it. Don't get worried about that. Don't panic. This is a battle. In fact, this is the final battle for the establishment of a new rule on earth. So, I don't want you to get confused. Corrupt business people call the Satan. That's what this is what God is talking about. God, this is not some mystical language that Satan is somebody a far removed from you, away from you. This is people that look just like you. But our hearts are made of stone. They recognize that the $1.3 trillion that's come through African American hands, they don't want to see it come in your hands so you can build institutions and compete with them. They don't want you to be able to establish foreign policy that compete with our scheme for the earth. They don't want you to have a president that is beholden to you.
So they're going to do everything in their power to compete with you and try to destroy you. And the first thing they want you to do is to panic, to be full of fear. Oh, they ain't going to let us do it. They gonna kiss. They can't do nothing but what God permits. And if you frightened and terrified, I would say, click off the radio and leave. Don't listen. Because God is showing me. I'm telling you, he's showing me. I can't witness for anybody else that we are going to be successful. And I'm going to tell you something. Just as Scripture says, God's victory. God says in the Quran, the book that came after Jesus the Christ, 600 years, God says, when you see the people coming into the religion in crowds, then celebrate his praises and turn toward him, repent. And it's happening. People are coming. I just have to make several comments before I get to the heart of our address. We have people right from this community. I don't even want to tell you how high they're working. They're working from the highest levels of government all the way to business, to educational institutions, to cultural institutions. Decision makers from the community of Imam W. Dean Muhammad. I know we got a few envious, jealous people who are planted by outsiders, who are afraid that we are going to compete with them and build our own business enterprises that will compete with them, that will go overseas, and we will sell cars. The countries right now have contacted us that wanted us to sell their cars. Goodness is on the rise. Business is on the rise. But they would like you to be stupefied and a mystified religious understanding. They would like you to believe that, oh, this is a persecution of Muslims. No, they don't care about you being a Muslim. They care about market shares. The man that owns 20% of News Corporation, which is Fox News, is a man from a Muslim country, Prince Waleed. He's worth $20 billion. They don't care about that. The sovereign fund of many of these countries are invested all in America, and they are Muslims. So don't let anybody have you to believe that they would oppress you because you're a Muslim. No. Don't let anybody believe that this is a race issue. Yeah, they get some imps out here that have been sold on race. This ain't has nothing to do with that. This is about competition for the material resource. In fact, the whole concept of race is no more, no less, than a race for the resources. And religion means alive. It's not a small thing. It's a big thing. It's a ministry that supports Imam Waqf Deen Muhammad. Mosque care should be seen as our state because it's a state of mind. Government's first a state of mind. And the Word of God and the understanding of the Word of God is the plan and strategy for how to develop the material world. That's what the Quran is. And when you really understand the Bible is saying the same thing. And the preacher, some of them know and some of them don't know, but the high ones do know it. Why do you think America is such a successful country? Why do you think America has outstripped Russia? Because these people have delved into their scriptures and they have built the greatest civilization known to man. It's a fact. It's a fact. A great material civilization. Now, they have run out of steam now. Some of them are in the top levels of our society, are terrified that God has given the rule to the ex-slave. Because they think we're going to come after them. No, we're not.
That's why it's so important to go to interfaith gatherings. That's why it's so important for us to be at the meetings with the Vatican, with the Jewish leaders, so we can reassure them that we don't mean any harm. Because if people think you mean them harm, they will stop you. That's why they stopped the CPC, Collective Purchase Council. That's why they sent in our agents and disruptors and put leaders in the top positions in our community. I could name those leaders. I would never name them. But I know they ain't working for us. Because if they were working for us, we would be the largest meat producer in these United States. We would be the largest merchandise in the United States. Don Belak Muhammad had already started on that. Let's get down to Scripture. Go to Scripture. Jesus the Christ told his followers that the kingdom would come without observations, for the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom is another way of saying community. He's saying that the community is within you. Now, let's go to the natural order. And let's look at one of our powerful symbols that is rich, phenomenally rich in instruction. That is the Kaaba, or called the Beit, or the house, or that's where you are oriented toward. In a house, you have economic needs. And let's spend a second or two, a few minutes, on budgeting in the home. The home is, the person can run their home properly, they have the same strategy to run a business. Balance the budget. Save money. What you save is your profit. That's why we have to understand that the Quran is firstly addressing the established people. The Quran is saying to the business people and to the thinkers who will establish the society, why would God tell you, give to me a beautiful loan? Because God is appealing to the social business person. Let me offer you a bargain. The language is business. Because we are material beings. Jesus the Christ was predicting what would later on be fulfilled in Muhammad. African people, African Muslim people, had developed an economic system that was so strong that Mansa Musa was giving away money, gold, that changed the world economy. So you hip-hoppers have to understand, long before the hip-hop people would throw money up and call it rain, your ancestors was raining money, giving money out to the poor. What is the connection we are making here? Somebody got disturbed by that and decided to capture us and bring us to America to break a powerful country, a powerful land, a collection of powerful nations. And God permitted it because God had a greater purpose. And that great purpose was to make a people that would establish the correct order on earth, the correct economy, the correct business life. Let's go back to what Jesus the Christ told his people. He says, the kingdom would come without observation, for the kingdom of God is within you. Now, African Americans, all African Americans, you talk to them day in and day out, and I talk to 10, 15, 20 of them every day. And they all would tell you, we need economics. We need this. We need that. And you heard our leaders. They're not my leaders. Do we heard them saying the same thing? We need this. We need that. But very few of the leaders will address what is blocking us, what the evil people are able to play on. And Jesus was telling the people that the kingdom without counsel will come without observation, for the kingdom of God is within you. I'm going to read something from a book that we've been using as a text called Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self. This is what we have to say. We need to wake up and say this every day after we make it out of devotional practice. I say out to every negative thought that comes to my mind. No person, place, or thing has power over me. For I'm the only thinker in my mind. I create my own reality and everyone in it. I'm mentally and emotionally equipped to enjoy a prosperous and loving life. It is my birthright to deserve all good. I claim my good. That's what we need to say. We are mentally and emotionally equipped. And we need to say out to envy, out to jealousy, out to failing to follow fit leaders. Out to that. We have to tell ourselves day in and day out because we are being inundated. We're being bombarded with messages coming from the society. You turn on the television, you turn on the radio, you turn on the computer, and all of these messages are telling you all that we are not deserving of this. And that's what a good leader is going to tell you. He's going to tell you what is blocking your progress. He's not going to call you to progress. But until we can put down the envy, until we can put down the jealousy in our own family, in our own neighborhood, in our own selves, put that away. Say, out. I'm not going to be jealous even of my competitor, which has been a European man. No, I'm going to be superior to him. I'm going to be greater than him. I'm not going to go and try to replace his corruption with my corruption. That's how the African-American politicians get in trouble. That's why Ray Nagin is on his way to jail. That's why several of our people are on the way to jail. They said, well, if a white man did it, I'm going to do it. No, whatever the white man did, I'm going to be superior to him. That's what Dr. King thought. That's what Imam Muhammad thought. That's what Nelson Mandela thought. They refused to be a slave to greed, to envy. They said they were going to pick up the mantle of being superior human beings. And then they went about it. You know, you study Nelson Mandela. Powerful. How he actually embarrassed his oppressors. Huh? Little bit of humanity left in them, they were embarrassed. He couldn't have done that if he thought he were inferior to them. He couldn't have done that if he tried to ape them, appear like them. Isn't that interesting they use the word ape? Don't follow the patterns of the corrupt business people. Follow the pattern, and you study them. You need to study the mindset of the rich and powerful. Another thing you need to do as a people is stop putting down people. We got that from the communists, the socialists. I don't want to be rich. Why shouldn't you want to be rich? I heard somebody criticize the little boy saying he wanted to be the first African-American tree in that. Oh! He should want to be the African-American trillionaire. But be a trillionaire, as Scripture says, seek ye with the means that God has made available to you. The promised life.
But don't forget your share of the material world called dunya. The Bible puts it the same way. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these what? Things shall be added unto you. Don't teach people prosperity. Don't teach them wealth without telling them that he has to follow what God has established for them. Many of the young people that have fallen victims to the traps that are set for us and Feds magazine, finally every dimension of the street, that feature every month some huge kingpin that made $200-300 million selling drugs, was starting people, mostly drug sales. If those people had put their mind to it, they could have been some of the greatest businessmen ever walked the earth. But they took the attitude that the white man is doing it, I'm going to do it. And that's what they sell you. That's the idea they want to sell you, so you won't compete to be the biggest seller of Chinese food, since African Americans eat billions of dollars of Chinese food. We've been hammering on this theme that the first thing we need to take back is just the fast food businesses. Businesses that God has given us near us. The prophet was told to tell his people, eat the food nearest you. Don't go over and eat the salad when it's far away from you. Don't go and eat the meat. If the rice is near you, eat that. That's what you call the patterns of the prophet, or some people call the sunnah. What is that telling you? That is telling you that your wealth will come from that which is nearest you. Isn't that the picture of Hagar? The woman that we reenact on a daily basis there in Mecca, running from Marwa to Safwa, she was struggling seven times, and water came up right at her feet. So we're looking for wealth. The wealth is in what you do, but you have to throw out envy. You have to throw out jealousy. You have to throw out pettiness. And they think that this community is not going to come back together. That's what they want you to believe. Had a very, very rich man was on this program recently. Great resources. Top corporate man. He hasn't come all the way home yet. But he's on his way back home. Imam Muhammad predicted that we would go away for a long time. And then we would come back as an educational power. What do you mean, Imam Muhammad, we'd come back as an educational power? Huh? We will resurrect Howard University because there will be social businessmen like Imam Makram El-Amin. There will be business persons like Ismail Kadar who will put their appetites, their desires, their aspirations for community life. They will not put their aspirations and visions for themselves. Why should God give it to you when you are only interested in yourself? When you say, God, I want wealth because I want to eliminate poverty in my neighborhood. And God says, my servant is running towards me to establish business life, the end want. He wants dignity for my people, for God's people, that he wants to fund the Clara Muhammad schools. He wants to fund elementary schools so my race won't be a beggar. Don't worry about these people trying to cut our broadcast off. They are worried because they know that we are waking you up. They know that we're not on some academic mission to show how heavy we are. They know we're not on an Arabic freak-out mission to show you how much Arabic we know.
They know we're not on some esoteric mission to show you how much hidden knowledge we have. They know what I know. They know my weaknesses. But they know. I've gotten calls from people I haven't heard from in years. They thought we were defeated. They thought that Imam Muhammad was defeated and that the boss of Imam Muhammad, the man that Imam Muhammad had wanted to be his boss, would be knocked out and the people would laugh at him and they would dismiss him. But there standing, Percy Desmond's son, Joe Booker's boy, standing up to defend Elijah's boy, Imam Warfuddin Muhammad. They like to divide us. They like to split us up. They like to say, hey, we don't want you. You ain't going to be with Wallace. He ain't going to be with Wallace. He ain't going to be with Imam Warfuddin. The community will collapse. We'll put them over here in Arabic. We'll have them over here with that. We'll have them all divided and split up, and the community's coming together. The young people will be turned off. We'll have the young people following the black Sunni path. Huh? We'll have them with Jay-Z as our leader. We'll have them with 50 Cent as our leader. We'll have them with this leader. We'll have them with Rick Ross, him being a leader. We'll have them with Beyonce, her being the leader. And we'll split them up. And if they are diverted by attention, they won't be competition for us. They won't be able to compete in the for-profit school business. They won't open up their own trade schools and get the money that Adam Powell struggled to get into a status called Title IV. They will be able to take the public schools and crush them and let the hedge fund boys. I know who I'm talking to. That's the boys trying to stop me. But you can't stop me. God Almighty is with me. And we're going to raise up not individuals. We're going to raise up groups of leaders, after leaders, upon leaders. That's what Imam Muhammad wanted. He wanted an autonomy so all of us would be all tied together so you can come in and crush one of us like you did with the probate case. Now, we have pockets of wealth here, pockets of wealth there. You have to break your system to get us. We know what we're doing. We have a strategy. And we are going to grow and grow and grow. And we have the true detergent. It's going to become a billion-dollar industry, multi-billion-dollar industry. And then we will have bleach. And then we have wax and factories. Huh? They know for a fact that even though we were a marginal group, the Nation of Islam, one collection we could raise $1 million. One collection. One savings day, 74, we raised $1 million. Probably spent another $20 million right there in Chicago. They know that the word of God, don't go and preach business to people. Don't go and preach education to people. Don't go and preach culture to people. Don't go and preach politics to people. Preach the word of God, and the word of God is complete. It is complete to establish an economy. It is complete to establish education. It is complete to establish a political order. It is complete. God says to us in the Quran that this is a book. There is no doubt in it. A sure guide for those who revere God. We ain't looking for those who don't revere God. This is not our mission. We can't do nothing with those people. Let God take care of them. As God said, leave me alone to deal with my creatures. But we're here for the good, righteous, sincere people. The people that believe that they want to see God's way established on earth. Say to yourself right now, I want to see God's way established. Not those whose portion is wrath that God is not pleased with. And what is God not pleased with? God is not pleased with somebody that wants to hog up all the resources, wants to extort the people, want wealth, want to have $300,000 and $400,000 cars, and the people don't even have enough money to get on the PATH train or the subways. Now, a person's willing to share the wealth, but yet workers will come on the job and work hard for establishment. And we're going to fire people back up. We're going to put the Spirit of God in them. And they're going to work hard and harder. And they will be the most productive people on earth. We will produce glass. We will produce computers right here in America. Even though they have a scheme to deindustrialize this country. We know the scheme. That's why they're going to jam our broadcast. That's why they're going to try to stop us. But it's a fair fight. Satan can only call you all who support Imam Muhammad. You have missed the point. Imam Muhammad's job was to see you have establishment. So we don't have to beg nobody for school. Fisk University on the verge of closing. What kind of people that university that produced W.E.B. Du Bois, and we got to go and beg somebody else to finance us? We're not broke. We are people with $1.3 trillion. And believe you me, the covenant has been given to Imam Debbie Dean Muhammad's community. Our job is to mobilize the African-American people to organize our markets. That's what this is a fight about. This is about the markets. Huh? That's what the Chinese people are doing. They're organizing the Chinese at home and abroad. Who's going to organize the African people at home and abroad? It is the community of Imam Debbie Dean Muhammad. Powerful sign. The Chinese is in there competing for resources. To take resources. But it is our job. I'm so glad Imam Makram El-Amin stopped by to tell us that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had the brother's hand clasped with Africa. We are the new Africans, and we are going to establish new Africa wherever we are. New Africa Airlines, new Africa shipping lines, new Africa movie theaters, new Africa products. New Africa restaurants, new Africa nursing homes, new Africa hospitals, new Africa schools, new Africa daycare centers, new Africa adult rest centers, new Africa trade centers. All of that is going to come about in the next few years. God inspired the prophet to tell us that the Wicker Shalat, the last prayer. And what is the prayer? Understand, in the Muslim prayer is the rise and fall of man. And that's that last prayer of the day. Before we go to bed, it's called Wicker. It's the odd. But there's something powerful here. I want you all to get the message. Gabriel in the Bible said Gabriel would blow the trumpet and the dead would rise with a single blast. Imam Muhammad said that lasts a lot. That last one before darkness overtakes us. Complete darkness, the night. He said when we make that, it's symbolic of the dead will rise with a single blast. He said, when all of our concerns, our educational concerns, our economic concerns, our cultural concerns, our governmental and political concerns all come together as one, then the dead will rise. And that's what religion means alive is about. We're about all of the concerns. not my personal concern, not your personal concern, not economic concern, not cultural concern, not educational concerns, but the whole concern. And that's what it means. We're about the job of building community. Every one of the five pillars of Al-Islam, and really when you understand Christianity, I'm not here to teach Christianity, but I could take all of the Christian doctrines and show you from the baptism to the communion, from the 12 stages of the cross, all of Christianity. I know Christianity thoroughly. I want you to understand that. But I'm a preacher of Islam, and I'm also a preacher and teacher of how to establish community life. But I could do that if I had to show you. If I were teaching a comparative religion class, I could show you. But I could show you right from the Muslim devotional practices, from pillar one, that the assertion that there is no God but God, and how that progression goes, and Muhammad is the messenger. What did Muhammad establish? What was he a messenger of? He was a messenger that established Medina, the community life. The first place, first phase of his mission was to establish the inner kingdom, clean the people up, get them out of envy and jealousy, get them out of not inability to work with each other, get them out of sexism, get them out of racism, get them out of classism, clean them up and bond them to the word of God. That's what Muhammad's message is. Huh? And what is the five salats? The five prayers are no more than no less in the establishing of the five senses to be obedient to God. That's what Adam is. When we bow down, we're bound down to Adam. To the nature. God wants you to come back to your nature. And you are naturally an educated person. You are naturally a business person. You are naturally a refined person. You are naturally an orderly and government person. Our religion is repeated over and over and over again with insights how to build the perfect society. Right down to the Muslim prayer service. You can't be, the rich man can't sit in the front and the poor man sit in the back. God wants you to be equal. And when you go to Mecca, the king has to take his hat off. When he goes to the Tawaf, he has to take his hat off. He has to take his robes off. And he got to come back to innocence. He got to put a diaper up at the top and a diaper at the bottom. His lower morals has to be clean, and his upper morals have to be clean. Everything in this religion is speaking to building the model community life. So that's what we have to understand. We will never get this until we get a complete picture of our religion, the proper picture of our religion, the proper picture of our prophet and his method, his motive, his destiny. And then we get a proper insight into what Imam Muhammad was doing to connect you. And when you get all of that fuel in you, all of that understanding, you will be able to build the model community life that we must have. You would be able to feed, clothe, and shelter yourself. We got people now that are operating for food, operating with agriculture. It's going to grow. You think we are finished because we had hundreds of thousands of acres of farmland? We're going to abandon that? No! We're going to increase it. We're going to own millions of acres of farmland. And we're going to do it collectively. We are here, and religion means aligned to mobilize all of the people and all of the resources. And our purpose and our destiny is to build a model community for all people. To show everybody of the world. People are going to run. They're going to travel to Chicago. They're going to travel to Newark. They're going to travel to East St. Louis. All the cities that were found one time the worst, they're going to travel to the desert. That is economic deserts. They're going to travel, and they're going to say, wow, I never thought in my life that God would bless those people who were bereaved of sense, that the people who used to be the laughing stock of the world. God is going to use us to bring the world back, even though the schemers, they can try to disrupt our programs. They can try to disrupt us, but I can tell you, we have infected enough people, and they are coming alive to the dignity of a human being. And that's what makes me so compassionate to our people. I know what our people have gone through, and I know where God is taking our people. We're going to be successful. Huh? God calls us to higher, come alive to education, come alive to business life, come alive to cultural life, come alive to government. God is calling us to not only believe it, but to actually achieve it. Higher as the law. Cultivate education. Work on it. Every day, read a book, study, and act on it. Some of you read books after books and won't make one effort to even bust a grade. Make an effort. You're a businessman, read about it and then take an action. You got a bottle of true detergent in your house, go out and sell it. Believe, accept the trust, and then do good deeds. Don't sit around analyzing. Don't sit around paralyzing yourself with an analysis. Don't sit around a mind of big boys. Because all they're going to make you believe you can never achieve it. Don't be awed by them. Don't be spooked by them. The same God that blessed Bill Gates, the same God that blessed Warren Buffett, can bless you with more and more. And I would dare say, I know for a fact, God's going to give you more if you have the right intention. He's going to give you more wealth. He's going to open up. Here's what God said. God said he has created man. Everything for the service of his man. And he said he created the man for his mercy. Now this is God talking. This is one that created the sun, moon, and stars. We're not talking like Mr. Broad to go to the bathroom. We're not talking about people teaching that kind of teaching. That was okay in 1930, 40, 50. I love Brother Minister Parker. I love the Nation of Islam. They don't have the right equipment. We have the right tools. We're giving it to you straight from what God wants for you. We're not here to try to crack on the president. We're here to give you the facts. And you don't think that the God that created the heavens and earth, of people that have been knocked down, that he wouldn't come to our aid? All we got to do is turn to him. Each and every one of you on the sound of my broadcast, you ask God to open your heart, open your mind, open your spirit up to his way and say to God right now, God, I want to have establishment not for our people's sake, but for your sake, to establish your rule on the earth, to establish your way on the earth, to show the model. Huh? That's going to supersede capitalism. That's going to supersede communism. You don't think God would respond to you? If you had a child that responded to you that way, when you respond, I'm just using an analogy. God is not a father. We're not the children of God. But if a child of mine responded to me with that, said, Daddy, I'm going to take everything you got, and I'm going to use it to benefit everybody, you'll open up the treasure to that child. I'm leaving everything to you. Don't think God is not, God, the analogy is similar. God is above. He doesn't feel. He's not a human. He's above. He created human. But the analogy and reasoning can be looked up under the same. And he's all just. He opened the doors up to everybody. This is what God said. Listen to what he said. He said, who told my servant that these things are not for them? Say, they are for them. And in the hereafter, the next life, the promised life, it's going to be for them exclusively. So he will give wealth to everybody who struggles to get it and establish it. He'll give it to them. But it's for us. So God is, those of us who are committed to God's way, you don't think God's going to favor us? And African Americans have stayed with God for 400 years through the worst treatment. All we got to do is return back to it. Return back to what God's planned for us. And follow what God has given our people, which our people said, was inspired to say, before I be a slave, I will be buried in my grave and go back to my Lord and be free. Our people also said that I wish I knew what it was to be free. They prayed to be free. Free for what? Freedom. Free to demand over themselves, their own mind, their own spirit, their own body. They didn't want to take anybody else's. To have education. To have business life, to have a cultural life, to have our own governmental life. We're not here to depend on government. We're here to depend on what God has given us. Thank you so much. Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. We had a difficult start. As Dr. King said, we had some difficult days ahead, and we still have difficult days. But God has promised us that he would deliver us to victory. We don't have to say, inshallah, God is delivering us day by day towards the victory. It is not our work we're engaged in. It is his work. And he said the believers will win through. If really understood properly, the believers have won through. And God inspired our prophet to tell us that he is as you see him. And if you see him giving you victory, you will get victory. If you see him overcoming your enemy, you will overcome your enemy. If you see him crushing forces beneath your feet, it will be just as what it says in the Bible. Come, sit on my right side, meaning come with the right way, while I make your enemies your footstool. He will crush all the forces that come against you, all the forces that are within you. God wants victory for you. He wants victory for the African-American people so he can show the world a people who had nothing, a people that they destroyed, has come to me, and I will establish them on the throne of rule. And as long as they are committed to my rule, I will give them abundance. This is the promise. Huh? This is a promise that God has promised us. Our people believed it. Our people knew it in their minds and spirit. Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. We have listened once again to another edition of Religion Means Life. Oh, I just wanted to make sure that you all listen to the broadcast. Wednesday, Sister Kimberly Muhammad, the mother of Brother Dr. Khalil Muhammad, will be on our broadcast Wednesday. And again, listen on the 22nd and tell your friend Halima Muhammad, the granddaughter of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Sister Clara Muhammad. She was also at the house when Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. came to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's house at 4847 South Woodlawn Avenue. The 22nd, we'll have Wally Muhammad. He's going to play some tapes of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. When the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was talking about self-help, it was not played to the national audience. It was played to a select group there in Chicago. 29th of this month, closing it out, will be Dr. Khalil Gibran Muhammad, the director of the Schoenberg, the second most important institution of culture in America after the Smithsonian. And isn't that amazing that one of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's grand descendants is heading that institution? I think it's an auspicious occasion. It's a powerful sign from God, and he's one of our personal friends. He will be with us. Thank you, and peace be on you.